Well, at a time like this, everyone is starting to look for ideas to keep their kids occupied. I know I have this fear that our kids are going to start bouncing off the walls if things don't settle down soon. I remembered a game that we used to play when I was young, and I don't know if I've ever played this with my kids, but I'm sure if they're listening, we're going to play this afternoon. And that's the hot and cold game. That's the game where you hide something somewhere, and as a person tries to find it, you say, "You're getting warmer, you're getting warmer." Or if they're getting farther away from that object, you start saying, "You're getting colder, you're getting colder." And if they, as they get within inches, you say, "Hot, hot, burning hot, burning hot," until they finally find the thing that is hidden. In today's passage, it almost feels like Jesus is playing that game with a couple of the people that he's talking to in this passage that we read. First off, we have what our translation calls a teacher of the law of Moses. The more common name for this is a scribe. And Jesus encounters scribes quite often in the Gospels, also encounters Pharisees too. And usually the Pharisees and scribes are kind of the bad guys in the Gospel. But here, and in like John chapter 3, you have good versions of these people. So the scribe in this category, or in this passage, is one of the good guys. And he comes to Jesus with a sincere and honest question. He's seen Jesus teaching. He likes how Jesus answers. And so he comes to Jesus in sincerity. And he asks him, "Which commandment is the most important?" Jesus, being a good, smart, clever rabbi, answers with a couple quotes from the Old Testament. He answers first from Deuteronomy chapter 6, when he says, "The most important one says, 'People of Israel, you have only one Lord and God. You must love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.'" He also answers with a quote from Leviticus 19, which says, "Love others as much as you love yourself." In these quotes, Jesus is quoting passages that I'm assuming most of the hearers right around him would be familiar with, especially that first one for Deuteronomy 6. Orthodox and well-practicing Jews would have recited that verse twice a day. It's part of like almost like a creed for them. And Leviticus 19, Leviticus is nobody's favorite book in the Bible, but if you are a teacher of the law of Moses, this is one of the books you know. So the verses he quotes, at the very least, the scribe knows very well. And Jesus is very smart here. He's quoting two verses that essentially encapsulate all of the Ten Commandments. As he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength," he's essentially summing up the first table of the law, the first table of the Ten Commandments, the commandments that have to deal with us and our relationship to God. Love the Lord your God with your whole being. From Leviticus 19, he's essentially summing up the rest of the commandments, the second table, all the commandments that have to deal with us and our relationship to our neighbor, whether that's in marriage, in how we treat a person, our covetousness, all that kind of stuff. And he sums that up by saying, "Love others as much as you love yourself." He's summing it all up. And the man, the scribe, the teacher of the law of Moses, he's impressed. He likes Christ's answer. And he says, "Yeah, teacher, you're right. There's only one God, and you're right. We should do this and this." And he even adds to it in a sentiment that is common throughout the prophets. The prophets would lambast Israel for giving burnt offerings and sacrifices and doing worship the right way, but not loving their neighbor, which really goes hand in hand with loving God. The scribe says to Jesus, "Yeah, these commandments are more important than all sacrifices and offerings that we could possibly make." The man is impressed by Jesus, and I think it's safe to say that Jesus is impressed by the man. He tells him, "Hey, you are not far from God's kingdom." But I think we need to notice what Jesus doesn't say right here. Because plenty of other places in the Gospels, Jesus will compliment a person on their faith. For instance, when the woman with the bleeding issue comes to Jesus and she reaches out and touches his garment and she is healed and Jesus finds who she is and who the one is that touched her, he says, "Your faith has made you well." There's more than one occasion where Jesus compliments a person on their faith. But here, Jesus doesn't do that. Instead, he says, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." He's getting warmer, but not quite there. Something is still missing in the scribe. Now, you fast forward just a little bit to the end of what we read today. Jesus is sitting in the temple with his disciples. He had just got done teaching there, and he's now observing worship going on. He's watching as people come and place their offerings in the offering box. And he notices that there's a lot of rich people coming in and giving large sums of money. Now, he doesn't condemn them for doing this, but he instead compares it to what he sees in a poor widow. This poor widow comes and she offers the widow's mite. It's the two small coins, and we're told in the gospel that it's worth, you know, a penny. It's a negligible amount. If you see a penny on the ground, it's negligible. It's not going to really, truly add to your bank account. You can't really buy anything with it. This woman gives something that pales in comparison to what the rich are putting into the offering. But Jesus sees this, and he pulls his disciples aside, and he commends the woman to his disciples. "I tell you that this poor widow has put in more than all the others. Everyone else gave what they didn't need, or they gave out of their abundance, but she is poor, and she gave all that she had, everything that she had to live on, she gives." You could say that she's essentially, or to a degree at least, she's living out that first commandment that Christ quoted, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. She's giving it all in that sense. She's placing it all. She's putting her trust fully in God's provision for her. Or you could also say, what else does she have to lose but to give it to God now? I remember a youth director growing up would talk about how she was too poor not to give. Like, she had no choice but to give to the Lord and trust that the Lord was going to provide for her. Christ commends the widow to his disciples. But I think we have to notice also again what's missing here. Christ doesn't talk to the widow. The widow doesn't talk to him. Maybe she doesn't even notice that he's there. And again, Christ doesn't mention anything about her faith. He's simply looking at her actions and admiring what she's doing. He doesn't say anything about her faith. It's like she's the scribe. She's getting warmer. She's not far from the kingdom of God. I have to believe that both the scribe and the widow would be the kind of people that would just have beautiful and glowing obituaries. You know, their funerals would be ones where people would come and they wouldn't refer to it as a funeral, they'd refer to it as a celebration of life, that this was a good person. And, you know, maybe the scribe's retirement party, people would just be glowing and talking about how great he is, and they look like people that you'd want to know and you could appreciate. And they're good people. But to the scribe at least, Jesus says, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." It's almost like Jesus is Midwest Jesus here. It's a little bit passive-aggressive in his complimenting of the scribe. "Hey, that was pretty good. You're not far from the right place, though." He's just not quite there. It's like that saying, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. You throw the horseshoe, if you're within a horseshoe's distance of that peg, you get a point. It counts. You're close enough. If you throw a hand grenade within 10 feet of somebody, yeah, you're close enough. It's going to be effective. But it's not quite what Jesus is looking for here. There's still something they're missing. And the thing they're missing is the person who is right in their presence. It's Jesus himself. It always, always comes back to this one thing, faith in Christ. After all, he's the only one who can truly put everything he has into an offering to God. He's the only one who can truly give all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, all his strength, without remainder. He can give this to the Lord. He's the only one who can truly do this. The scribe, the widow, they're wonderful examples of what God wants us to do with our lives in this world and how he wants us to live. But we have to understand that what God wants first is faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. In this sense, Scripture and our Lord is exclusive. Salvation, true salvation, doesn't come from our good works and even following the works that God wants us to do. It only comes by faith in Christ. The Lord is exclusive, but he is also wonderfully inclusive because Jesus is for everyone. And the Lord tells us that salvation is for everyone who believes. Without faith in Jesus, we will only ever be not far. But that's not where we want to be. We don't want to be getting warmer. We want to hold it in our hands.